Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love, where we bring the labors of love from the Diocese of Corpus Christi straight to you. I'm your host, Margaret Alaria, and I'm here with my guest, Blanca Garcia, who is a leader in the Cadena de Oración, prayer chain at Holy Family Catholic Church. How are you?
Fine. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm excited to have you here. Today we're going to focus on prayer, and that's always a topic of interest for Catholics. And you have something really good going on here in terms of prayer and bringing in other people to form a prayer chain. But before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I was born in Mexico in a city across the border of Brownsville. And my parents have nine children, and they were four boys and five girls, and I'm the oldest. And when they have half of the family, they decided to buy a place in the colonias, and we moved over there. They built a house, and I grew up over there. I spent my childhood over there. We share with the other families, surrounding families, our struggles, our joys, and our Catholic faith. We celebrate the baptism, the first communion, the quinceañeras, the posadas, the pastorelas, even the missions, because we used to go in families. When I was 15, when I finished the high school, I enrolled in this nursing school. And then I worked for 4 years in a hospital from 19 to 23. And there I met my husband. He was introduced to my family. And we met, and in less than 6 months we were married. And he brought me to live here. And we were married for 4 years and have four children.
You have four children. You wanted eight, no. So you have four children.
Four children. When I knew my husband, I was happy because he was a Catholic and he had all the sacraments. But when I came to Corpus Christi, it was kind of hard because I didn't know the language. And anyways, the parish that I was in my neighborhood was Holy Family. I started going over there, and we took care of the sacraments of the boys, the children. And when they left home is when we were by ourselves, and I tried to my husband to go with me to the same things that I went to church. But he just sometimes went, and sometimes he didn't want to go.
So I know that that's a part of your story with the prayer chain and the cadena de oración. So let's go ahead and start talking about that. How did all of this start?
Well, I was getting tired of having a lot of disagreement with him. And one day I was watching TV, the Sister Angelica channel, EWTN. And the time I turned on the TV was the Blessed Sacrament, benediction. And I kneeled down and I asked for help. And I told God that I need help. Then I turned off the TV when everything finished, and I continued having these bad thoughts. And I said, instead of continuing these negative thoughts, I should get this letter that Father Domingo sent me from Midland. And I opened the letter, and at the moment I start reading the letter, it looks like it was talking to my life. So he was giving this advice to this lady that I wanted to bring her husband to church. And I decided that God was giving me another alternative, and I accepted. And I was involved in church and in the prayer meeting, and I knew a lot of people over there that were warriors, prayer warriors. So I invited them, And it started in the fall of 1997. By December 28th, the Feast of the Holy Family, we already have our first mass. And it were 40 families participating. And we did really good because we follow all the instructions.
So you, when you say 40 families, you had 40 families that were a part of the prayer chain?
Yes, but when you say 40 families, it's not the father, the mother, and everything. It's the person that wants to sacrifice, to be, you can say, a priest, an intercessor before God for the sanctification of their family.
So in baptism, we were baptized priest, prophet, and king. So these people, these 40 families, wanted to offer themselves for prayer.
Yes, that's what we've been doing over there.
So I'm going to, I did read the letter, and you presented it to me before our gathering today. And it talks about how there was this female, and I'm sure some of our listeners can relate, that had a very devoted husband, but when it came to church-related issues, things were difficult. She yeah. tried to get him to go to church, and even in the letter it says that he only went to church when she begged him and twisted his arm all week. He would relent just to get her off his back. So I'm sure that there are some people that get frustrated with this type of scenario, and they think their only option is perhaps getting a divorce because yes. their faith is so strong, that this individual's faith is so strong, but their spouse's isn't, and there's some disconnects. And like you said, disagreements yes. and frustrations, a lot of crying, I'm sure.
Yes.
And the alternative would be prayer.
Yeah, trust in God and prayer.
Trust in God and prayer. So then go ahead. I want to know more about your story then. What happened? You started the prayer chain. You started to pray. And then what?
Well, first I got very mad because I was doing my best. And it seems to me that my husband, he just didn't want it to come. He make a lot of, made a lot of questions, and I tried to answer. And he wasn't dissatisfied with the answer. Then because he used to watch the Discovery Channel. And then I said, oh, why don't you go to ask the priest? He will be glad to answer all your questions. But he said no. Anyways, I guess what happened is I got involved in everything that we were offering to God. That it didn't bother me. He got mad that Sunday came and he didn't want to go to church. And I just went myself. He started to come in, and then three Sundays disappear, and then he will come again. My friends at church, the prayer group people, they were very happy when they saw that he was coming because they thought he was going to stay. But then he disappeared again and said, we just keep praying for him. One day I can say, it's your birthday, why don't you go to church? And then he says, oh, no, I'm not going to go just because it's my birthday.
Oh, okay. Right?
And then I said, well, we're doing this for San Antonio. If San Antonio is just Saint Patron, you should go. And I said, better don't say anything. But that day it was San Antonio when he came back to church. And he stayed. And it's a very good thing because shortly before after he came, our sacristan lady passed away. He then was over there. The other people that are altar servers, altar helpers, request his help, and he got involved and learned, and now he does a lot of things that all in a prayer group. We are very surprised because he does everything right, and he has been there for a long time. Maybe 6 years now.
So let me summarize. You had mentioned to your husband that it was his birthday and that he should go to church. And he said, well, precisely because it's my birthday, I don't want to go to church. No. Kind of like, I want to do what I want to do today. It's my birthday.
Yeah. At the same time when he was saying that he had problems, and he said, why don't you pray to God? He says, God is going to come and pay my bills and things like that. Like.
So there was some skepticism, mm-hmm. and what I understand, though, is that he did go to church, and that this was his feast day,
San Antonio.
Of St. Anthony.
San Antonio.
And he has not stopped going ever since, and he even became involved as a sacristan.
Yes. He took some retreats, and, well, it was amazing. It surpasses all my expectations.
Well, you sound very happy. We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
In preparation for the Advent season, the Catholic Daughters of the Americas Court 246 invites you to an Advent morning of reflection on Saturday, December 1st in St. Joseph Hall beneath the Corpus Christi Cathedral at 8:30 a.m. Speakers for this special event entitled Becoming the Saint You Were Created to Be will include Father Zachary and Sister Anne Marie Walsh. The morning will conclude with the Rosary, Sacrament of Reconciliation, and Holy Mass at 12:05. There are no fees and no registration is needed. Everyone is welcome.
Welcome back to Labors of Love. We were listening to Blanca Garcia, who is a leader with Cadena de Oración, a prayer chain at Holy Family. Now, the great thing is that this whole time that she's been speaking, her husband, Antonio Garcia, has been in the room, also known as Tony. And, Tony, we're going to hear from you. So I'd also like to know a little bit about you, if you can share with the listeners.
Well, I was born in Brownsville, Texas. And my parents moved to Corpus when I was about 5 years of age. And I went to Southgate, North Side, the old North Side, and Roy Miller.
Oh, so did I.
So joined the Navy Reserves, and then I was called to duty. I spent 3 years in Vietnam, came back. And one time I was invited to go to Matamoros with a friend of mine. And we were looking for people that wanted to work out here, you know. At that time, it was legal. So her mother saw me, and I heard her mother say, God would like that for my daughter. So she wasn't there.
This was your mom's fault then.
Yeah. She wasn't there. She was a nurse in Monterrey. So I said, well, I have to visit my my uncle's house. I'll be out here in about 2 weeks. So I did go back there at 2 weeks, and I saw I saw her. She had just finished mopping the floor. She was barefooted. She was embarrassed. She was out there, shy. I looked at her, and my heart flipped back and forth. And so I fell in love with her, and I told my parents. They met her. They fell in love with her, and I did it the old-fashioned way. My parents went over there and asked for her hand in marriage, and so we got married, and then little trouble with work here and there and there, so finally I started working for the government. Army Depot, mm-hmm. And while I was working out there, I did a lot of overtime, a lot of work. Then we start having families, you know, I needed to work, you know. Mm-hmm. So moving further on, it got to a point where I had different shifts, in first, second, and third. And then I got home and I wouldn't see Blanca. She was out there in the church, you know, doing her praying, you know. At that time, I didn't know exactly what she was doing. So I would get mad at her and I'd say, llévate el colchón y quédate allá. Take your mattress and stay over there. So it was like that, you know. And then we had some funerals. Some of her families passed, and then she would come out there and tell me, help me say the rosary. And I did not want to say the rosary. God, it was just like somebody dragging me. I just didn't want to have nothing to do with the rosary. So finally, I guess she got some of the ladies to pray for me. And I knew a guy that we were working together, and then he became a deacon. And she would ask that guy to pray for me, and I just didn't want to. Anyway, I could go on forever, but the thing about it is that one day out of the blue, I got up. She was already gone. She would go real early to say her prayers. And I just got up. I'm not going to say that the Lord talked to me. I'm not going to. No. I just got up and went over there, you know, put a macho man, you know, go over there. And then I sat next to her. And I can just see those ladies because they didn't know who her husband was. There was a guy that was sitting about three benches back. And they thought that was her husband. So when I went over there, you know, hugged my wife and said, we're there. So she got me involved in saying the rosary. And believe me, I was very, very, I would shake because I was afraid. I couldn't talk. I stumbled and everything. Finally, she managed to get me to get up there and pray like on Sundays. And that's more nervous because you have all these people just staring at you, you know. And
well, let me ask you this. Okay. From that point that you hugged your wife and sat there on the bench at the church, is that when you felt a change in you?
No, ma'am. It doesn't happen overnight. Okay. It just little by little mm-hmm. by little. It took some time.
Yeah, definitely.
And then there was an accident, and one of the guys that would help in the altar fell down. And then that other guy said, hey, would you help me? And I said, no. I've never been an altar server. I have no idea what it is. He said, come on, I'll train you. Mm-hmm. So I did get trained, and then the next step was another person came that was helping the priest do funerals. And that's what at the time when Father Frank Martinez was there. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, I know Father Martinez. You have to ask him permission. He said, no, put the help on. So that's how I started helping in the altar and then with the funerals and then quinceañeras, so forth. It's a long story, man. But the thing about it is that in time, I started changing. I joined the Knights of Columbus. I'm a fourth degree Knights of Columbus. I also came out here to the Crucio. I'm also a member of the Crucios. I was changing little by little. And I got more involved with the church. Father Emilio went out there one day and said, Tony, I want to talk to you. And he said, I want you to fix the readings. And I said, Father, I think you have the wrong person. And he said, no, come here. I have the right person. So he started me opening the Bibles and showing me this and that. And so now I run that. And there were too many people up there in the altar, and he wanted a single person. He said, I want you to be in charge of the sacristan. And so I started helping in the sacristan. And then Father Emilio left, and Father Pat is here. Mm-hmm. And Father Pat Danahue, you know, right?
Mm-hmm. Danahue.
I'm sorry. I kind of got nervous right now. So I think I've been there about 8 years now. And there's one thing that I'd like to say. Us guys are like macho men, you know. We think we know everything, you know. But I think that really women are a lot smarter than we are. I don't care if we fight about it, but I understand that. And so I keep getting involved with projects that the church has. So right now I'm their sacristan, and I have a lot of ladies that depend on me a lot because I do morning mass and evenings and first Saturdays, and anytime the priest need somebody to help them out there, like for quinceañeras, bautismos, or whatever. But there's a thing about it that when I go up there to the altar, there's a feeling of peace. I'm a person that I eat at a certain time, but it's different when I'm up there, because sometimes I have done up to 3 funerals in a day. When I say I help the priest, I'm just a helper, an altar server,
mm-hmm.
and it's a feeling that only a person will get when he's up there. When you get involved, really get involved, not a 15 minutes of glory. No, really involved. I think I have changed. I used to get mad a lot. I used to argue and I used to fight with my wife and this and that. But I think her prayers, thank the Lord, had changed me a lot.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. What do you feel that it was due to prayer?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, her prayers are very strong. You will be surprised. Prayers is a wonderful medicine. That's what it is. It's a medicine. People go out there and they pray and they think that it's going to happen overnight. No, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. The Lord knows what He's doing. But let me tell you, I'm in love with my wife again. It's a wonderful, prayer is a wonderful thing. I don't know what else to tell you. It's just you have to go out there and pray and stick by it. I mean, it's not an overnight deal.
Blanca, I'm sure you're very happy to see your husband here, and he's glowing, and it was a result of your prayer and the community's prayer.
Yes, we are very happy. And we are not the only ones. I was the last one, I think, one before the last one to have my answers to my prayers. But we have another ones that were in drugs. We have others that women that have left, the husband had left with younger women. And everybody had their
prayers
case, prayers answered. Yeah. And we are very happy, and we just tell the families that they don't have to take all these things by themselves. They are trusting God in prayer. They can join the community, not pray by themselves.
Mm-hmm. And get those prayer warriors mm-hmm. going.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining me. Stay with us. Deacon Nolte and Sacred Moments is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Sometimes in the course of an ordinary day, something happens that grabs our attention. It could be a visit from a hummingbird as we relax outside, or a phone call from a friend with whom we've lost touch. For some, it might be notification of a death or the diagnosis of a feared disease. Whatever the event might be, we find ourselves suddenly moved from the ordinary to an unexpected place where we marvel at beauty and truth. Oftentimes, the beauty we encounter fills us with hope in a world that seems to have so little, and joy that we have encountered its promise. Other times, we are struck by the reality of human existence. One day, death will surely come to each of us. For most of us, it is a thing we fear. We fear death because we don't understand it, because we don't know what follows, or at least we don't trust what we've been told. Not trusting flows from doubt, which is one of the 7 steps of temptation and sin. These steps begin with a separation from what is good, a separation that singles us out from family and friends, or draws us away from our spouse or our faith. In the moment of separation, a question arises that casts doubt upon what is good, and the answer comes in the form of a lie, which distorts truth because it always subverts the truth. This lie, in turn, engenders fear, a fear that something good is being withheld from us and that we will somehow be less if we do not believe the lie. Once we've been hooked by the lie and the fear, we make a decision to act according to the lie, which is always against the truth, and we enter into sin. Sin is that free act of the will to choose a lesser, created good over the greatest uncreated good, which is God. The creature chooses creation over the Creator. Once we have committed the act of sin, we immediately know we are wrong, and we seek to hide it. When confronted with our sin, we blame others for our own poor decision. But what does this have to do with our fear of death? Quite simply, it arises from the fact that we doubt the goodness of God and do not trust what He has planned for us. We trust only that which can be seen. Every time that we go through the seven steps and commit a sin, we are led further and further away from God, so much so that today few truly believe in Him, and even fewer believe that He cares and is still with us. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus tells the rich young man that if he seeks eternal life, he must keep the commandments and love his neighbor as he does himself. For the young man, it means selling everything he owns and following Jesus. Jesus stands before him and offers him eternal joy and hope, but he goes away sad because he can't trust letting go of his created wealth for the prospect of eternal life with God. How many of us attend Mass and do not trust what Jesus told us, that He is the bread of life and that He will be with us until the end of the age? How many of us see only bread on the altar? Jesus invites us to be with Him in His real presence. May we be surprised today when we encounter Jesus' real presence in the Eucharist, and may your sacred moment be one of joy and hope. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank both my guests, Blanca and Antonio Garcia, for speaking to me about the Cadena de Oración, or the prayer chain at Holy Family. If you would like more information, please call them at 361-888-5592. And remember, always keep praying. Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Aleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.